Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
Praise the Lord. It's so good to be here. You guys are awesome. What an incredible worship team you are. And seriously, you are amazing. As you really are. I get to go to a number of churches, and the reality is I love worship. So it's like I'm an enjoyer. So I love our guys and girls and sons and daughters in their house. And I go to other churches and I appreciate their worship and I appreciate their teams. But I got to tell you, when I come here, and you guys are just growing and growing and growing, when I come here, I'm like, man, I love you like I love us, because maybe we are us, you know what I'm saying? But you guys are incredible. Can we give it up for this worship team? Come on, you guys are awesome. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise God. Are you doing good, C3? Are you well? Why don't you turn to someone and give them a big high favor in Jesus' name? We're going to let these guys go. I'm going to tell you, it is so good to be here in Toronto. How many of you know that you are a part of an amazing church? Okay, this time I'll speak English. How many of you know that you are part of an amazing church? Amazing church. I'm sitting in the front row, and I've been on a bit of a journey over the last few weeks in different churches and different places and spaces. And there's one word that comes to mind as I sit there, or stood there today just worshiping with you, and that word is authentic. How many of you know this church is authentic? What you see is what you get. It's as real as you're ever going to get. And I got to tell you, I thank God for that, because there's a lot of churches that do church, but there's not that sense of authenticity. But you come into this place and what you get is real. What you get is legit. What you see is what you get. And I thank God for that. I thank God. I've been here, I don't know whether it's four or five times. I think it might be five, actually. The first time I was here, there was about 80 people in church, and we had 40 people in your house and 80 people on a Sunday. That's probably five or so years ago now. And I could tell right from the very start, this church had an amazing future. The truth is, you've got to where you've got to probably quicker than I was expecting. But how many of you know, to God be the glory for everything that God is doing? Amen. Come on, you can do better than that. You can do better. I know you can. I'm going to draw it out of you today, praise God. As in, how many of you know you're not meant to be quiet in church? As in, how many of you know, praise God, the Raptors won the basketball, all right? All right. How many of you know, when you were watching that, when you were watching and you were coming home the home straight, were you like, yeah, go Raptors? No, don't you, you know what I'm talking about? How many of you know in the house of God, it should be exactly the same? When you hear something, you're just like, yeah! All right. Here's the thing. How many of you know great churches, they don't just fall from trees? How many of you have ever been walking down the road and you look on the ground? What was that? It was a great church, just hit you in the head. How many of you know great churches are built by great leaders, and you've got an incredible couple in your pastors? Pastor Sam, Pastor Jess, Pickan, praise God. I am so proud of you all. And I say you all, so proud of you, but I am really so proud of you all. One location, two, three now. How many of you know the sky's the limit? Why don't we just win all of Canada? In fact, why don't we take all of North America? In fact, why don't you go take the world? It's about time you did something, you know what I'm saying? Just go take the world and rejoice. Bring greetings from Georgia Girl. She's down in Grand Junction. We've got a location in Colorado. She's down there this weekend. She wanted to be here. I said, bad luck, baby. Some of us have to work, so you go work. I'm going to go play with my friends. All right. And so we're here, and so I bring greetings from Enjoy. And how many of you are ready for the word? Came to church for the word, eh? Get all the pleasantries out the way. Now we're going to get into the word. I want you to turn with me, if you will, to Psalm chapter 30, verse 5. Psalm 30, verse 5. Now, I'm gonna talk like an Australian. Typically, I go a little bit quicker than I should. And so if you don't understand me, just yell out, what did you say? And we'll back it up, and we'll come back, and we'll help you out. And so I just want to be myself. I feel like when I come here, I can be myself. How many of you know it's the best way to be? Just be yourself. And so I'm just going to be myself. You'll find out along the way that I'm probably not the most politically correct person. I don't know that Jesus was politically correct though either, eh? How many of you know, sometimes it's just, it's okay to have fun, all right? It's okay. We'll just have some fun together. All right. So Psalm chapter 30, verse 5 says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. What comes in the morning?
Joy.
All right. What comes in the morning?
Joy.
All right. So weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Now, I love this verse. How many of you love this verse? How many of you like, yeah, I dig this one. I like this one. Maybe you've been weeping for a little while. I love the verse. I love the scripture. It seems that, but it does seem that for many, the sun isn't coming up. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. But for many, the sun isn't coming up. It was reported recently in Australia that the number of people on antidepressants in our nation is 1 in 8. There's 3 million people, just over 3 million people on antidepressants in Australia. The number in North America, including Canada, is something like 1 in 9 people. How many of you know at the end of the day, that's same, but different. 1 in 8, 1 in 9, who really cares? How many of you know there's far too many people? Now, that's not a judgment statement. This is a humanity issue. How many of you know we are not meant to live in this space, but joy is meant to come in the morning. This is a heart for God. But for many, the night continues on and darkness is holding people down in a space and a place of weeping and distress and depression. So while in the beginning, we're looking for the sun to come up, we're looking for our breakthrough, we're looking for the full light of day to come, for many, that's not a reality, and for many, that's not happening. Now, when I was a boy, how many of you know that was like last century sometime? When I was a boy, now don't go judging me on this, but I used to go shooting with my father. We would go out in the morning. We would head out about 3 a.m. We'd get there to where we're going to go shooting at 4 a.m. And we would wait for the sun to come up. We would wait. Now, I'm not the most patient guy. How many of you need more patience? You know what I'm saying? It's a fruit of the Spirit. Help me, Jesus. You know, oh, I'd be like, Lord, give me patience and give it to me now, Lord. That's just the way I'm wired. I just want it now. And so we would wait for the sun to come up, and sometimes it would seem like forever for the sun to come up. How many of you know it's one thing to be waiting for the sun to come up when you're going shooting, but when you're believing for a breakthrough in your life, when you're believing for a breakthrough in your emotions or in your marriage or in your family or in your finance, whatever the case may be, it's a whole different deal. So in the beginning, we're believing for the sun to come up and it's not coming up. And as Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12 says, hope deferred makes the heart what?
Sick.
Hope deferred makes the heart sick. And so when all hope is gone, in comes depression. Now, as we go here today, please hear me well. I am not a physician like Dr. Luke, who wrote the book of Luke and the book of Acts. I am not a physician. I'm simply a humble carpenter like our Lord and Savior. That's all I am. I'm just a chippy like the Lord at the end of the day. I'm a carpenter who was radically saved over 32 years ago. 32 years ago, March 28, I was rolled into the Aubrey Base Hospital, unconscious with alcoholic poisoning. When I woke up a day and a half later, I came out a Jesus freak, praise God. How many of you know all you need is one encounter with Jesus Christ and the rest of your life is set up for the purposes of God? So here I am now. I get radically saved. It's like people couldn't believe the transformation. It's like, what happened to you? I'm like, man, I got saved. And then I thought to myself, why didn't it happen to you? But whatever, let's move right along. And so I've been saved now 32 years. I've been married now just over 30 years. I tell everybody it's been the best 30 years of Georgie's life. It's been incredible. Man, God bless that girl. You know what I'm saying? I got three beautiful children. They're unbelievable. We've got two daughters and a konnichiwa son-in-law. Praise God. How many of you know the story? My daughter, she thinks she's Asian. She woke up as a 12-year-old thinking she was Asian. So we didn't want to ruin the dream, so we just went with it. You know what I'm saying? How many of you know, don't ruin their dream. If they want to be, that's good. So she wakes up, she thinks she's Asian. She starts going on missions trips and holidays to Asia. She goes for a whole year to Japan. After a whole year, she comes back, and what follows her home but konnichiwa, you know what I'm saying? And I got to tell you, I met him at the airport, and he did not speak English, and I didn't speak Japanese other than sushi, Toshiba, you know what I'm saying? Kawasaki, Suzuki, all those words, that's all I got. And so I walked up to him and he goes, ha, oh, and I said, ha, oh, because I didn't know what to say. And then he went, ha, oh, and I went, ha, oh, ha, oh, and I thought, oh. I said to him, have you ever seen The Karate Kid? Oh, Nazi Karate Kid. I'm like, you're not really Japanese. You know what I'm saying? If you haven't seen Karate Kid, you're not Japanese. I got to tell you, I could not love this boy more if he was my own son. It's like, Georgie says, if you want to know what Rio's like, think about Shane stuffed into a little Japanese body. They're like twins together. They're just like, I love this kid and he loves me. And I said to Emily when they were dating, I said, Emily, just so you know, if you guys break up, you're moving out so he can move in. You know what I'm saying? As I boom, boom, I love this kid. Anyway, so I got two ugly dogs, praise God. Two ugly dogs. How many of you know dogs are meant to be ugly? If you've got a pretty dog, take it down the pound, swap it over for an ugly dog. My dogs are so ugly, I can't tell whether they're coming to me or running from me. You know what I'm saying? They are awesome dogs. I love my dogs. And then I got a cat, but who cares about the cat? All right, so then I get to pastor this church called Enjoy Church. When I was a kid, I used to go to Endure Church. How many of you know that church? Some of you went there probably, you know what I'm saying? It's like, when I was a kid, I used to go to Endure Church. Now I pastor Enjoy Church, which from my point of view is one of the great churches in the world, which connects me to the greatest people in the world. Amen. So praise God. Now here I find myself. I'm the original enjoyer, original fun monkey, known for my passion, my faith, and a little bit of humor. But if I can be really honest, a number of months ago, I realized that if I could be really honest today, I'd lost my joy. How many of you know when the original fun monkey loses his joy, it ain't much fun anymore? It's like, we're not meant to be lemon suckers. We're meant to be joyful. We're meant to be full of joy of the Lord. But I realized there were so many areas of my life. Now, as I say, I lost my joy, not in every area of my life and not all of the time, but there was too much time where, if I could be really honest with you today, I lost my joy. It was just gone. I felt like I was being weighed down all the time. I felt like my joy was being suffocated. I'd be in meetings that I'd been in for the last 20 or so years, and I'd sit in those meetings relating to ministry and church and life and all the rest of that. I'd sit in those meetings with people that I love and who love me. And I know they love me. And we're doing this thing together. Some of them in that room, we've been doing it literally for 20 years. But I'd sit in those meetings, and if I'm going to be really honest, as we're talking about laying hold of our future in God and doing new things in God, on the inside, I'm going, blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, blah, 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 blah. You know what I'm saying? It's like, how many of you know? It's like wacky. You know, it's like I just didn't want to be there. I'm like, these are meetings that we've had forever. And it's like, I don't want to be in this room. Who are you people? Blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I'll be driving down the road and I'd see someone ringing, calling my number, calling my phone. And they're my friends, but I'd see their name come up and I'd throw the phone on the floor and look out the window like I don't even know they're ringing, even though it's still coming through the whole system. I'd be getting asked questions at work, at the office, in regard to decisions that had to be made. Or Georgie, my wife, would ask me questions in regards to, Shane, we need to make a decision on this. And I just didn't want to make a decision. I didn't want to have the conversation. I didn't want to be in the meetings. And I don't want to talk to my friends on the phone. Now, theologically, we know the thief came to what? Praise God, you guys are good. You're like Bible people. I like that. I like that. Yeah, it's good. To steal, kill, and destroy. You all said the same. You all said the same thing. Yes, that's awesome. Praise God. Moving right along. I'm here to tell someone today that if you're feeling depressed, oppressed, weighed down, distressed, or as though your joy is being suffocated or stolen, I'm here to tell you, joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. Friends, I want to encourage you today. Maybe you're feeling that way. You've come to church today. You're going through the motions. You're here. Praise God, you're here. Joy comes in the morning. And it's time to rise up in faith, put yourself back on the front foot, and get yourself back into the game again. Now, Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10 says, do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Everyone say joy. You can't say it like that. Joy. It's joy. You know, everyone say joy.
Joy.
All right. Yeah. All right. The joy of the Lord is your strength. There's another joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Your strength for what? The joy of the Lord is your strength for life. Life, all of life. The joy of the Lord is your strength in love. Praise God. How many of you are in love? If you're married, just put up your hand. The joy of the Lord is our strength in leadership. The joy of the Lord is our strength in marriage. If you're married, you're going to need the joy of the Lord. Isn't that right, Jojo? The joy of the Lord is our strength in relationships, in work, in ministry, etc. So that being said, what do you think it is that the thief is coming to rob and kill and destroy the most in you? If the joy of the Lord is our strength, you know what it is. He's coming to steal your joy, because when he gets your joy, he gets your strength. He wants to take you out of the game in life, out of the game in ministry, out of the game in your marriage, out of the game in your family. He wants to take you out. He's going to go after your joy. He's coming after your joy. And just how does he go about stealing our joy? Well, let's just start with the scripture that we've already read in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your... Do not grieve. There's a time to grieve. And then there's a time to move on. There's a time to grieve, and there's a time to say, that's enough now. Now I'm going to put my hope and my trust in God again. That when we elevate grief over our joy, joy is going to vacate. We need to make a choice. There is a time to grieve. I'm not saying there's not a time to grieve. But then there's a time to move on in God. Sometimes, and as I speak into this, I know I'm not aware of all the situations and all the circumstances that are in this room today. Some of you have lost loved ones. Some of you have lost relationships. I was talking to a guy in our church once. He'd lost a girlfriend. I said, so how long ago did this happen? And he said, well, it was 1976. And I said, I think it's time to move on. She's not coming back. She's probably dead. It's like a long time ago. It's like he was 110 years of old, ages of it. It's like, how many of you know we can grieve over all sorts of things? Sometimes we think about grief in the context of losing a spouse or a family member. But how many of you know you can actually grieve over all sorts of things? Well, now, when I realized I've lost my joy and started thinking about why have I lost my joy in this area of grief, I realized that I'd been plagued and I'd been grieving for a number of years, and I'm going to tell you what I was grieving about. And as I say it, some of you are going to laugh, and if you're a manly man, you'll get it. But if you're not, you're going to laugh at me, and I deserve to be laughed at, but I'll tell you the story. I realized when I worked out I'd lost my joy that I was grieving because I had sold a muscle car. I sold a muscle car. And you say, I thought you were going to help us today. We think you need help. It's that I sold a muscle car and I was grieving over it. You may say, why were you grieving? Now, it wasn't about the car. And it wasn't actually about the money. This is what it was. I sold a muscle car for all the wrong reasons. I sold it for $85,000. It's a 1972 model XAGT hardtop. It had gone up a lot in price. Everyone's thinking, that's a lot of money for a car. It's an investment car, effectively. But I'd had it for a long period of time, and I sold it for $85,000. As soon as I sold it, it started to climb in price dramatically. Now it's worth $150,000. My grief wasn't about the car, and my grief in reality wasn't actually about the extra finance in itself. My grief was about providing for my wife and my children, because in some ways that is their inheritance, and it was my ability to give them a leg up into their own homes and into their own houses. I found myself driving around with my wife. Every week I would apologize for selling the car. She's like, Shane, you got to get over this. And I'm like, I know, I got to let it go. Let it go. I got to let it go, baby. I get it. I'll be out on the golf course with my mate Mick, who's one of our pastors in our church. I would drive him crazy. Why did I sell that car? Why did I sell that car? I found myself grieving over it. How many of you know when we elevate grief, joy is not going to get a look in? We need to make a decision. Now, the scripture says here, do not grieve as if we have a choice. How many of you know you have a choice? What else is going to steal your joy? How many of you know comparison will steal your joy? Can I encourage you, don't get hooked into that where you compare yourself against your brothers and sisters. You will lose. You will lose. I'd encourage you, when it comes to social media, liar. When it comes to social media, it's a beast. Don't get hooked. I never realized how bad my life was until I got onto Instagram. You know what I'm saying? I get myself onto Instagram and I realize, Shane, you suck. You know what I'm saying? I say, look at all your friends. All of their families are better looking, better behaved, all their opportunities. They're doing all these things. You're doing nothing with your life. You've got an ugly family. It's all bad. You know what I'm saying? It's like, even their dogs are uglier than my dogs. You know what I'm saying? They're bigger and uglier, whatever. It's like you get yourself, when we compare ourselves, we're going to lose. The enemy is going to come in and steal your joy when you get into that place. How many of you know unforgiveness will steal your joy? Unforgiveness will steal your joy. My father is now 77 years of age. He was probably 65 years of age before he forgave his stepfather of something that happened when he was 15 years of age. It plagued my dad. Throughout his whole adult life, I would have discussions with him and he would bleed because when he was 15 years of age, his stepfather married his mother, who is my grandmother, and the stepfather said to my dad, I'm not going to adopt you or give you my surname, but if you want to, you can go down to Depole and pay 10 shillings for it. It's equivalent to a bit over a dollar now, but you can go buy the surname Baxter. So my father felt rejection from day one as his stepfather came into his life, and all his adult life, he had unforgiveness in his heart. And I would go after it. For years I went after it. I would say, Dad, you can't find your identity in that. As in, how many of you know it's a man who makes the name, not the name who makes a man? You've got to find your identity in Christ. I'd say, Dad, you've got to forgive. You've got to let it go. Now, along the way, his stepfather passed away, but my dad had a theory, and the theory goes like this. I will forgive him when he asks for forgiveness. I said, Dad, the dude is dead. He's dead. It's like, how is he going to come back and ask for forgiveness? And I think in that moment, he realized, good point. All right, so then he forgave him and now he's like, he's finally free. Unforgiveness will steal your joy. Jealousy will steal your joy. How many of you know, how many of you have ever gone to a wedding and before you went and bought yourself a new dress? You know what I'm talking about, sister? New dress. Because you want to look smoking for the wedding, you know what I'm saying? So you get yourself up, you get yourself dressed, and you go to the wedding, you got your new dress on, praise God, and you walk in and in comes another sister with the same dress with the shoes to match. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, straight away, something on the inside goes, you know, it's like, you know what I'm talking about. It's like, how did we go from feeling so good about ourselves, man, I look good today, and now I want to scratch her eyes out, you know what I'm saying? What happens? How many of you know jealousy will steal your joy? Overstretching will steal your joy. Overstretching in your finances, overstretching in your work, overstretching in your commitments. I'm just too busy to live now. It's going to steal your joy. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verse 6 says, better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. Now we can go on and on in regards to the joy robbers, but I don't really want to spend all day talking about this. I want to speak about breaking the spirit of heaviness off you. The spirit of heaviness, because this is what happens. When joy moves out, heaviness moves in. When joy moves out, heaviness moves in. Now we're no longer quick on our toes. I don't know about you, but I believe as believers, we're meant to be up and about, on our toes, living life on our toes. How many of you remember the Flintstones? All right. Remember when Fred would go bowling? You know what I'm saying? He was up on his toes. That's how we're meant to live life as believers, up and about and going after life, full of faith, full of optimism, quick to laugh. But how many of you know when your joy is gone, so is our strength. Now we're weighed down. Now we're quick to snarl. You know the snarl? If you're married, you probably know the snarl. How many of you know that's typically where it's going to come out first? Quick to bark at each other, quick to bite at each other. Everything becomes dark. My life, my wife, my family, and my future are all dark. Everything is heavy because I'm looking through heavy eyes. nothing's actually changed externally, but because of what's happening on the inside, now I'm giving everyone the stink eye and everyone's given me the stink eye. They're actually not giving me the stink eye, but because I look at them through my eyes, I only see stink. When I got saved, man, when I got saved, my future was so bright, I had to wear shades, you know what I'm saying? Like all the time. But then all of us, when joy leaves, our strength goes, and then here we find ourselves. If that's how you find yourself this morning, my friends, I'm here to tell you, joy comes in the morning. How many of you could do with some more joy? All right, now, how many of you think the person beside you could do with some more joy? It's interesting. Four times as many hands just went up, and you all start laughing like, you're talking. No, I'm talking to all of us, all right. All right, we could all do some more joy. Psalm chapter 45, verse 7. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. The oil of joy, the oil of joy. The Lord pours on the oil of joy. Down it comes, down it comes, down it comes. I love this thought about the oil of joy, because the oil comes down, the anointing comes like, it's like Aaron and on his head and his beard and comes down over his cloak. And you know what I love about that scripture where it talks about the anointing that came upon Aaron? It goes all the way to the edges of his robes. I want to encourage some of you, because maybe you're carrying some grief and some pain and some heartache for things that are a little bit distant from you now, but they're still at the edges. They're still at the edges. There's still pain there. There's still grief there. But the oil of joy is meant to get through it all. So we come to Christ and we receive the joy of the Lord. We're anointed with the oil of joy. But then because of our grief, our comparison, unforgiveness, jealousy, overstretching, overworking, overcommitment, not to mention the sin that so easily entangles each and every one of us, we lose our joy and heaviness takes over. Now, when we find ourselves here, we can do one of two things. We can say, well, this is it. This is my lot in life. Stress, distress, oppression, depression. This is my life. Or we can say no more and get ourselves back into the game. Remember when Jesus came out of the wilderness? How many of you realize that if he came out of the wilderness, he first went into the wilderness? All right, I'm from Australia. I'm here to help. That's how it works, isn't it? You can't come out unless you first go in. You can't go higher until you first go deeper. You can't come out until you go in. I say that because you think about this story. Jesus went into the wilderness, and the Bible says he was full of the Holy Spirit. But when he came out in the power of the Holy Spirit. He had 40 days of fasting, tempting, testings, trials. 40-day fast because he's hungry for God. How many of you are hungry for God? How many of you have ever been on a 40-day fast? Give me a wave, been on a 40-day fast. All right. Isn't it true? Like for me, at day 30, I lost my mind. After day 30, I shouldn't tell this story. It's a little embarrassing, but on day 30, Georgie came home unexpectedly and she walked into the house and I was in the kitchen and I had opened one of her cookbooks and I was... I was like, she goes, Shane, what are you doing? I said, I'm licking the chicken, baby. I'm licking the chicken. She goes, that's disgusting. I said, I know, but it's beautiful. How many of you know if you put salt on the pages, you can actually taste the chicken? True story. How many of you know when we get to heaven, there's going to be three-legged chickens everywhere? Three-legged chickens. Extra drumstick for everybody. How do we know God is not a vegetarian? Because if he was, he wouldn't have made animals out of meat. That's all I got. Thank you for coming. Praise God. All right. Jesus, no, stop it. All right. So Jesus goes into the wilderness, full of the Holy Spirit, comes out in the power of the Holy Spirit. When he comes out, what does he do? He goes straight to the temple. What does he say? Give me a scroll. Someone said we'd like a coffee scroll. No, not a coffee scroll. That's not what I'm after. I'm after a scroll. I'm after scripture. Someone says, would you like a psalm? No, I'm not looking for a psalm. What about a proverb? Would you like a proverb? No, I'm not looking for a proverb. I'm after Isaiah. Bring me Isaiah. And they're like, all right, let me have a look for Isaiah. So, and I was like, what about Jeremiah? I got Jeremiah. No, don't want Jeremiah, I want Isaiah. So they finally get Isaiah, they bring it out. And now he begins to scroll, because how many of you know that's why it's called a scroll? There's no numbers, there's no pages. We scroll, 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 scroll. Hang on a minute. Okay, this is the part. I'll find the part. All right, what part? All right, everyone sit down. This is what we're going to do now. All right, you ready? Everyone says, okay, we're ready. Jesus says, Isaiah 61, verse 1, that's where we're at. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus speaking, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Friends, can I encourage you today? This is the acceptable year of the Lord. This is the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion. How many of you know Zion is a representation of the church? That's where we're at. To give, Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, to give them beauty for ashes. He wants you to exchange your ashes, your grief, your sorrow, your heartache and your pain for his beauty. He wants to give them the oil of joy for mourning. The oil of joy. This oil doesn't run out. This joy is not going to let you down. It's going to keep coming and coming and coming. The oil of joy for mourning. And listen to this. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. It's not a desire for praise. It's not a want to praise. It's not an ability to praise. No, he's going to give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Yes, Jesus wants to fill us with joy, that our life might be joyful. But at the end of the day, it is that he may be glorified. I was with these guys, Pastor Sam, Pastor Jess, in C3's Presence Conference in Australia. I belong to a different movement, same people, but different group of people. But so I was just loving it. I was there just minding my own business. I'm a no one in this movement, which is great. But I was able to speak to one of the keynote speakers. His name is Chris Hodges. Chris and I go back about 9 years, and it's a long story, which we won't go into, but a great story. And so one way or another, I've become friends with Chris. Chris is talking to me in the green room, and he says, Shane, I was talking to some ministers recently about the spirit of heaviness. And when he said spirit of heaviness, in an instant, it was like God spoke to me. Because I'd been grappling with my own realities, the fact that I'd lost my joy. But in that moment, when he spoke about the spirit of heaviness, it was like, God, it was like slow motion, slow. It was like the words came out and it was like they just came straight at me, bang. And I realized in a moment, my issues weren't that I was working too hard. My issues weren't that I was just trying to be a father or a husband. My issues weren't that I'm leading this church or leading our movement in Victoria. That wasn't what my issues were. My issues were, there's a spiritual fight going on here. There's a spirit of heaviness that was coming after me to steal my joy. And in a moment, in an instant, I realized what I needed to do, because I knew what the scripture says, that he has given us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Heaviness. And then so immediately, I made it my ambition. I made it my desire. I don't know how you wake up in the morning, but when I wake up, some people wake up like, praise the Lord, it's good to be alive. When I wake up like a hairy old dog, you know what I'm saying? I'm like a bear that comes out of hibernation. I need an hour or two. I don't even know why God created any hour before 11 a.m., you know what I'm saying? There are some people that believe in a flat earth. I'm not the flat earth guy, but I'm all for starting days at 11 a.m., you know what I'm saying? The whole world just comes alive at 11 a.m. and pow, we're here, you know what I'm saying? That would work for me. About 6 a.m., 7 a.m., So this is what happens these days. I fall out of bed. The alarm goes off, and sometimes I feel my wife's foot in my back. I fall out of bed. I walk in. I look into the mirror, and as I look into the mirror in the ensuite, I can see my dad looking back at me. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, morning, Al. And it's like, oh, that's me. All right, so things change. All right, so whatever. And so... But then I hop in the shower, get myself in the shower, and when the water comes on, it's like I begin to wake up. And when I begin to wake up, it's in the moment, in that moment, I realize I've got to start praising the Lord right now. I've got to start praising the Lord right now. I've got breath in my lungs to praise the Lord. I've got a spirit in my body to praise the Lord. I'm alive today to praise the Lord. Before I leave the house, I'm going to praise the Lord. Before I step into that meeting, I'm going to praise the Lord. Before I attack that situation, I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to get my praise on because the Lord is worthy of our praise. He's worthy, whether I feel like it or not, He's worthy of praise. And so then I began to praise. And instantly, the joy began to come back. And so it's like literally as quick as that, as the worship team come. In Psalm chapter 42, verse 11, it says, I read this verse and I'm like, this is me. Why am I discouraged? I've been saved for over 30 years. I'm married to a wife that loves me and I love her. I've got three beautiful children and two ugly dogs. Why am I discouraged? Why so sad? Shaney boy, why are you so sad? Look at your life. In reality, it is good. I will put my hope in God. I will praise Him again. That's what the scripture says. Why does the scripture say, I will praise Him again? Because he'd lost his praise. And when he lost his praise, he became discouraged. When he lost his praise, he became sad. So he says, I will praise Him again, my Savior and my God. We need to decide, church, every day. We're going to put our praise on like a garment. Georgie and I are different. Georgie, you go into our bedroom and Georgie's wardrobe has all her garments all hanging up. Typically, when I walk in at night, Georgie will take an hour to get into bed because it all has to be there. When I walk into the bedroom, I launch, and as I launch, all my clothes fly everywhere, and I land in bed. And she goes, what are you doing? They're all over the floor. And I'm like, they're there for tomorrow, baby. I've laid them out on the floor. It's my floor drobe. You know what I'm saying? It's my floor drobe. It's all there. She goes, you can't leave. I can't sleep with it like that. I say, turn the light off, and you won't know. You know what I'm saying? Just turn the light off. You got to put it on. No one else can put on your garment of praise. No one else can do it. Only you can do it. Typically, I think we live in a generation that is a little more reserved when it comes to, I don't want to be out there. God wants you to be out there. He wants you to walk on the water. He wants you to be like David when David's coming into his city, dancing before the Lord, praising his God. And his wife is saying, oh, how undignified the king is. He's like, shut up, woman. You got no idea. You reckon this is undignified? You haven't seen anything yet. I'm going to get my radical praise on. Ow! You know what I'm saying? You can imagine David doing that, can't you? And he got his praise on. He didn't care what his wife thought. I do think it's interesting that she never bore another child after that. No, that was it. God's like, you're done. Don't judge your brothers and sisters when they praise. Just praise the Lord. When you pray, when praise goes up, joy comes down. When praise goes up, oil comes down. I want to pray for every person in this room today. If you were to be really honest, you've lost your joy. You're still in church, praise God. You're still in your family, praise God. You're still at work, praise God. You're still in ministry, praise God. You're going through the motions, but if you could be honest today, there's elements of joy that are just gone. You're just pushing through. It's like, I'm here. I know this is where I need to be, but if I could be honest, my joy is gone. My joy is gone. Friends, I want to encourage you today. put the garment of praise back on. Now, I'm going to pray for you. This is what I want to do. I want to pray for you. In the 10:30 service, we're praying for you right now. I'm praying for you. We want to pray for you. We want to pray together. Then after we've prayed, I want to pray for salvation. Then after that, what we're going to do is this worship team is going to lead us in a praise song. And when we get to this place where we enter this praise song, if you're here today and you're like, I need to put on my garment of praise. I'm a great believer that in where you position yourself, it's where you position yourself. I'm going to ask every person that's here today that knows that I need to put on my garment of praise. I'm actually going to ask you to hop out of your seats. And you're like, well, that's getting uncomfortable now. That's the point. That's the point. I would say get uncomfortable. I would say step through the barriers that are holding you back. Step through what other people may be thinking about you. They're not thinking about you because they're thinking about, I want to do this without you thinking about them. Just go for it yourself. Just reach for it yourself. There's a garment, and if you come to the front and you put your garment on and praise and praise and praise, I promise you the oil of joy is going to be poured out upon you today, and you're going to go home different in Jesus' name. So every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here and you're saying, Shane, that's me. I'm going through the motions, but if I could be honest today, the joy has gone. If that is you, I want you to raise both hands towards heaven right now. I'm going to pray for you. Just raise both hands towards heaven. The joy is gone. The joy is gone. I'm in it. I'm still doing it, but the joy is gone. Father, I pray for my brothers and I pray for my sisters. I ask in Jesus' mighty name, Lord, that this be a day of breakthrough in their life. Lord, I declare in Jesus' name, the joy of the Lord be their strength. Lord, I ask and I pray that the spirit of joy would come again. Lord, I pray in just a few moments as they come and they put on the garment of praise and they begin to praise you, praise you, praise you, like it's just you and them. I pray, Almighty God, that you would open heaven and pour out joy, joy, joy. Let the joy of the Lord be their strength in life, in love, in marriage, in relationships, in family, in leadership, in ministry, and in business. Lord, I pray, let the joy of the Lord be their strength. And everybody said together, amen and amen. Come on, let's give God a shout of praise. Praise God. All right. Before we go, this is what I want to do. I pray for salvation. Maybe you've come here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We can talk about the joy of the Lord, but if you don't have the Lord, you can't have His joy. You can have His joy. You can have His forgiveness. You can have His love. You can have it all, but you need to receive it. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's all of us. The Bible says the wages for that sin is death, but the free gift of God is salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. So yes, sin is the issue, but Jesus is the solution. When we receive Jesus, we receive forgiveness, we receive His love, we receive His peace, we receive His life, and we can receive His joy. So today, once again, I'm going to ask every head to be bowed, every eye to be closed. If you're here today, my brother, my sister, my friend, maybe we don't know each other yet, but I want to know you. I want to know you as my brother. I want to know you as my sister. I love the fact that as I do this altar call, as I give you this invitation, I know this church is a family of believers. Maybe you're looking for family. Maybe you're looking for love. Maybe you're looking for God. Friends, if that's you today and you know that you need Jesus, maybe once upon a time you walked with Jesus but have drifted away, can I encourage you today, come back to Jesus right here, right now. So from the front to the back, from our right to the left, all over this room, you're here today and you're saying, Shane, I want to give my life to Christ. It may be the first time, it may be the second time, actually makes no difference to me. What matters is this: if you're not right with God and you know it, and you're saying, Shane, today's the day, today's the day. I want to get my life right. I want the joy of the Lord. I want to know that I'm forgiven. I want to know that I'm a child of God. If that is you, on the count of three, I want you to raise your hand now. Are you ready, my friends? On the count of three, here we go. Just shoot it up. Shoot it all the way up. When I see your hand go up, I'll point at you and say, God bless you. The moment I say, God bless you, the Spirit of the living God is going to come upon you. Here we go. You want to give your life to Christ? Just raise that hand on the count of three. Here we go. One, two, three. Right now, wherever you are, God bless you, my friend. God bless you.